الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous classes we had discussed the issues that the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى about the two first obstacles, roadblocks and detours in seeking knowledge, and that is number one, that seeking legislative knowledge is an action of worship, and it must be sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah. And from those detours is that the intention will be redirected, and the intention can become corrupted, and the sincerity can be weakened, and a person can start to desire and become inclined to this worldly life, and begin to use this knowledge as a means to get the worldly life, position, status, and rank, and to have a place in the hearts of the people. But this knowledge is lofty and high, and seeking it is worship. So therefore it must be purely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal alone. And if one is sincere and he is truthful in that, then many times the worldly life will come to him submissively, as has been mentioned in the hadith of Anas radiyallahu anhu, وَتَأْتِيهِ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةً. This is for the one who is truthful and sincere. And a person, if he is truthful and sincere and seeking knowledge, and seeking knowledge and learning and carrying knowledge and teaching, then Allah Azza wa Jal will aid him and support him and sustain him and provide for him from where he could not perceive. And he will not spend his life looking for livelihood, rather it will come to him and he will be able to devote himself to this knowledge, to learning and teaching and spreading. And this is from the beauty and the benefit of al-ikhlas and the purification of al-tawheed, al-tawheed al-khalis. But from that beautiful intention is that one would intend to apply it. And the knowledge is learned with the intention for it to be a light and a guide for a person on how he will conduct himself, how he will move, how he will speak, how he will carry himself, how he will talk, how he will establish his life, beginning with the obligations and the prohibitions, and then likewise the rest of the legislated affairs that have come in the deen of Allah. So the one who learns but he does not apply it, then he has missed the whole point and the whole reason for seeking knowledge in the first place, and that is so that it can be a light and a guide, and that he can apply it in his life, and that it will be a means to draw him near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he learned knowledge but he was insincere in that, it will not be accepted from him, and it will be a proof against him, and he will be from the first of those to be taken to account. He'll be from the first of those to be taken to account. And if he were to learn knowledge, even if he had some amount of sincerity, and then he did not apply that knowledge, he did not use it properly, and again this will go back to insincerity and weakness in his faith, that he will not apply that knowledge, and then if he were to begin to use that knowledge for the worldly life or for worldly status and rank, then likewise he'll be from the first of those to be taken to account, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, and that knowledge will be a proof against him and not for him. So after this, the author he mentions al-a'iq al-thalith, al-i'timadu ala al-kutubi duna al-ulama, al-i'timad ala al-kutubi duna al-ulama. The third obstacle in seeking knowledge is relying on the books without the scholars. Is relying on the books without the scholars, and no doubt the books, the Islamic books, the books of al-tafsir, the books of al-hadith, and the books of al-fiqh, and the books of al-lughah, and nahw, wa sarf, wa balagha, and the sciences that are related to these affairs, any from usul al-fiqh and usul al-hadith, and other than that, these books, they are very important, and there are instruments in seeking knowledge. But a person, he has to learn fundamentals and foundations before he will truly be able to benefit from the books. Before he will truly be able to benefit from the books. The works of the people of knowledge are vast, vast, an ocean of knowledge. And Islamic heritage is left behind. And there are so many books, so many subjects, so many topics in one subject, so many books authored in different manners, different methodologies. In each book, it has a specific reason. It has a specific reason. The books that are related to the Quran, the tafsir of the Quran, or the gharib of the Quran, or the lugha of the Quran, and the likes like this, the i'rab of the Quran, so on and so forth. These are so many different works. And if a student is searching for something, he will be able, after learning the fundamentals and learning about the books likewise, he will be able to go to the right book for the right issue and find the benefit that he's looking for, or be able to research the issue that he's looking for. But if he did not learn properly, he will not be able to go to the right book. Sometimes one book will have 45 volumes. Sometimes one book will have 45 volumes. He's looking for an issue in the religion and a narration and topics about this affair. How is he going to find that? How is he going to open up 45 different volumes and find the hadith he's looking for, or find the issue he's looking for, find the subject he's looking for, find the clarification of the rulings he's looking for? This requires knowledge and experience. This requires knowledge and experience. So the point here is not that a person, he will not learn from books. No, a student of knowledge, he must learn from books. Rather, a true student of knowledge, he will spend his life in the books. But there is a stage that he will reach that will qualify him to be able to do that. So the beginning stage is not that he learns from books alone, but rather the beginning stage is that he will have a teacher. He will have a teacher who learned properly, a teacher who learned from the lips of the people of knowledge, a teacher who that knowledge is seen in his conduct and manners, and a teacher that is known that he's not harmful or a person of trials, and it's known that he is carrying knowledge. So he will learn from him in this manner, and that teacher will teach him and cultivate him little by little until he is able to stand and he has a strong foundation and he's able to see the principles and the usul of the deen, and he'll have a proper creed and he'll understand the proper methodology. And then he'll teach him little by little the important sciences that he needs to be a student of knowledge and to actually traverse on the path of knowledge. Allah, he says, وَلَكِنْ كُنُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تُعَلِمُونَ الْكِتَابَ وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ. Yani that you should be رَبَّانِيِّينَ, yani those people who are رَبَّانِي, the scholars who cultivate the people from the small knowledge to the big knowledge. But here the word small knowledge, and it's not really small knowledge, it's the foundation, it's the knowledge that takes precedence. So in reality, it's major knowledge, and the rest of the knowledge is based upon that. So what is intended from the small knowledge before the large knowledge, meaning the foundations and the fundamentals. And the one who learns in this manner, in his education, step by step, brick by brick, then eventually he will reach a level where he's firm and knowledge and understanding, and he will be able to research and delve into the books, and he will be able to find the issues and summarize them and collect them and benefit from them and benefit others. But this is not the first stage. So this is very important to realize, that a student, he will not begin by delving into the books and then rely on them, or he will not be self-taught and learning from the books only by himself. Rather, there must be a teacher. It's of utmost importance to have a teacher. A teacher, he's going to help and facilitate and direct and make the knowledge easy, that which cannot be done in the books. Many times those who learn from books, they misunderstand. And they make mistakes. And they go astray, or they lead others astray, and the likes like this. So this is the point here. The third obstacle, relying on the books without the scholars. I remember a statement now that in the first semester in Kuliyat al-Hadith, in the first semester in the Faculty of Hadith in the Islamic University in Medina, that there are always, every semester there's an introduction. There's an introduction the first day, every class. The teacher, he gives an introduction and informing us about the subject that he's teaching, and a general advice and admonishment to be sincere in seeking knowledge and to work hard and to strive, so on and so forth. So many of them, they would always say in the very beginning, especially in the first semester, they would say that that whenever you graduate now, at this time you will begin seeking knowledge. They say you're not really seeking knowledge now, but whenever you graduate, after you graduate, that's when you will begin seeking knowledge. So at this time, many of us, we did not understand. And we're thinking to ourselves, but here we left our homes, we're traveling, all we're doing is seeking knowledge. All we're doing is seeking knowledge. Everybody in the jamia, we have no job, our life is in seeking knowledge. But what he meant by that is, like, you will not truly feel the sweetness of seeking knowledge until after you graduate, because in the university in those 4 years, the way, the methodology, and the syllabus is laid out to build the student and to cultivate him. So by the time you graduate, you will have many keys and fundamentals and foundations, and now you will be able to actually seek knowledge. So just like what they used to mention, after I graduated, I felt that. When I came back home and began to help the communities, and now I have to prepare classes and the likes like this, now I say, oh, that's what they're talking about. That's what they're talking about. So the point is that you learn with the people of knowledge until they cultivate you, and they help you to build a solid foundation in knowledge. And knowledge is not just one aspect. There's so many vast issues of knowledge and foundation that you have to learn in order to be able to benefit from the knowledge. The terminology itself, knowledge has terminology. Al-ilm lahu lugha, wal-ulama lahum lugha. The scholars, they have a terminology. They have a language that they speak. They have a way that they speak. They have words that they use, terms that they use. You have to learn these terms so you can understand what they mean. One word maybe has a linguistic meaning, and if you only know that linguistic meaning, you may think that that's what is intended when you read the book, but that's not what is intended. It has another meaning in the tongue of the scholars of that science. So you will learn their terminology. You will learn what they intend from these different words and these different terms. You will learn the fundamentals and the keys and the foundations, the principles that will be keys for you now to be able to read, to be able to research, to be able to study, to be able to learn. Even the issue of books itself, this issue is a type of knowledge that you will learn. You will learn about books. There are books in tafsir. You have to learn about them and the methodologies of the scholars of tafsir. There's books about hadith, and they have to learn about the hadith and the way that they're collected and the methodology of each author. The methodology of Bukhari is different from Muslim, and the methodology of Tirmidhi is different from the both of them, and the likes like this. So their books are authored in different manners and in different ways and for different purposes. And then likewise, the explanations of the hadith as well. Each author has his own personality. And then likewise, each author has his own aim that he's focusing on in his explanation or in the collection or the authoring of this particular work. So to learn these affairs in order to be able to benefit from the books, And then the sciences of hadith, usul al-hadith, mustalah hadith, so many different books, so many different aspects. There's the science of mustalah hadith, then there's jarh wa ta'dil. In jarh wa ta'dil, there's many books that person he has to learn about, if he's going to be able to talk about, to learn about the rijal, to learn about the men, so on and so forth. This is a whole science. There are books that collect weak and strong narrators together. There are books that collect weak narrators only. There's books that collect strong narrators only. There are books that collect companions only. There's books that collect them in tabaqat, in the companions, in the tabi'in, atba' tabi'in. There are those books that collect all of them. There's books that focus on the kutub as-sitta. There's books that focus on other books. There's a vast ocean of knowledge just in the science. So to truly be able to benefit from the books, a person, he has to learn about the books and learn about the authors of the books and learn about the methodologies of the books. This is just in Jarh al-Ta'dil. Any before that, he would have to learn about the shuruhat, the explanations of the kutub as-sitta, and the other books likewise. After the Kutub as-Sitta, and then the other books from the later generations that were collected on different topics and different subjects, and the narrations that are found there, and the chapters that are found there. So when one is researching, he will be able to go to where he needs. And if he's going to look for the explanation or benefits related to a narration that is in Bukhari and Muslim, then he has to know the explanations of Bukhari and Muslim. But also, if that book is all collected, if that narration is collected in other books as well, he will want to go there and also find what they had mentioned there. If it's also in At-Tirmidhi, you have to look for the explanations of At-Tirmidhi. Then if that same narration was also mentioned in Bulugh al-Maram, for example, then a person, he will look for the different explanations of Bulugh al-Maram from the modern-day scholars to benefit from that, from Sheikh Uthaymeen, from Sheikh Fawzan, from Sheikh Bassam, and from Sheikh Fawzan, and the likes like that. And he will have to be able to know these affairs. He has experience now with knowledge, so now he can truly benefit. Maybe the hadith likewise is in Riyadh al-Salihin. There are a number of explanations, so he will find in this explanation what is not found in that one. He will find in this one that which is not found in that one. There will be general benefits, general issues that all these explanations they share, or they're transmitting one from the other, but there will be one benefit that you are searching for, like a diamond or a jewel, that you will find here. You'll not find it anywhere else. And it will be the one that will help you to understand, the one that help you to see. So the point is that the issue of books is a major issue. It's an ocean of knowledge itself, just learning books, just the knowledge of learning books. So no doubt we have to learn about Aqidah, right? We have to learn about Tawheed. We have to learn about our belief in the angels. We have to learn about our belief in the prophets. We have to learn about our belief in the books. We have to learn about our belief in the last day. We have to learn about our belief in the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is in Aqidah. We have to learn about the belief in the affairs of the hereafter, in the Jannah and the Nar, so on and so forth. All of this is in Aqidah. All of this is in Aqidah. That's one science. But before you can truly study this, you have to learn about the books of Aqidah. You have to learn there's books that are written that collect these issues and clarify them with authentic narrations and the likes like this, and then the explanations of that. So the point is that to even truly be able to benefit from the books, you have to learn about the books. So what the author is mentioning here is very suitable and very beneficial. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, yara ba'du al-talabati min nafsihi qudratan ala akhdhi al-ilmi min al-kutubi dun ar-ruju' ila al-ulama في توضيح عباراتهم وحل مشكلاتهم وهذه الثقة بالنفس داء طالما رأينا صرعاه منبوذين وأنداد أهل العلم مبعدين ما أكثر خطأهم وأبعد نجعتهم وأشنع تناقضهم. He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, some of the students see themselves as having the ability to take knowledge from the books without returning to the scholars. Here, بعض طالبات العلم, يعني some of the students of knowledge, they see this. So the point here, barakallahu fikum, is that you will not be from those some. Some of them, this is what they think about themselves. So we should not be that person, especially in the beginning stages. This is a warning, and he's mentioning this in order to be a warning, admonition. Don't be like those few, or those that group of students of knowledge who have this in their mind. Some of the students see themselves as having the ability to take knowledge from the books without returning to the scholars to clarify the statements, expressions, to clarify the statements and expressions and solve the problems. And in the book, sometimes there are issues that are mentioned that may be a problem for a person. It's not clear for him. He doesn't understand what it means. He doesn't understand clearly what is intended from the word or the statement or the sentence or the judgment that is mentioned there. And so he has to return back to those people who know. He says, this reliance upon oneself is a disease. This reliance upon oneself is a disease. And yastaqil bi nafsi. The student, he'll go all by himself before ever learning and taking the proper steps and learning. That he will just be by himself, and he will learn by himself, and he will rely on himself and suffice with himself. And there are reasons that lead to this, and this is because he thinks good of himself. He thinks good of himself. He's praising himself. He thinks he has ability that he doesn't have. Raising himself to a status that he's truly not reached yet. So it says this reliance upon oneself is a disease. We have often seen many of them quickly being disregarded and far from being considered from the people of knowledge. How abundant are their mistakes, and how far off are their hopes, and how repulsive are their contradictions. And meaning that the likes of this person, they make many mistakes and they fall into errors, and eventually it becomes known that they're ignorant. And along with that, that they have pride that has carried them to this level, to think that they have reached a level that they have not. He says, rahimahullah, قال الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى من تفقه من بطون الكتب ضيع الأحكام. الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله, he died in the year 204. He said, may Allah the Most High have mercy on him. Whoever seeks knowledge from the depths of the books will cause the rulings to be lost. And he will make errors and mistakes, and the rulings will be corrupted because he will speak about issues he did not understand. He will not understand and comprehend what is intended from the statements of the people of knowledge, and therefore he will base his judgment on what he thought without having a strong and a firm understanding, and therefore in this manner the rulings, they will be neglected. The rulings, they will be lost, they will be neglected, things will be changed, things will be misunderstood. Instead of being permissible, he will understand that it's impermissible, and the likes like this, or instead of being an obligation, he will understand that it's allowed. He will misunderstand the issues. He will not be able to comprehend properly, and in this manner the rulings will be lost. And this is a major calamity. This is a major calamity. The deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla is not something that should be taken lightly. وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا. Do not take the signs, the verses of Allah Azza wa Jalla as a joke and as a game. So a person, he will not delve in and play with the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Rather, he will learn properly, sincerely for the sake of Allah, and then speak about what he knows upon knowledge and insight. Upon knowledge and insight and certainty. So he says, وَكَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ يَقُولْ مِنْ أَعْظَمْ مِنْ بَلِيَّةِ تَشَيَّخَ الصَّحِيفَةَ او تَشِيِّخَ الصَّحِيفَةَ come like this likewise. مِنْ أَعْظَمَ الْبَلِيَّةِ تَشَيَّخَ الصَّحِيفَةَ اي الَّذِينَ تَعَلَّمُوا مِنَ السُّحُفِ. And some of them will say, from the greatest trials is to take the scriptures as a shaykh. تَشَيَّخَ الصَّحِيفَةَ يعني إنسان يعني يُشَيَّخَ الصَّحِيفَةَ شَيْخًا لَهُ. That he will turn his book into his shaykh. And his shaykh is his book. So, where you learn that from? Where did you get all that knowledge from? Just from the books. Oh, you don't have a teacher? No, he learned from the books only. His shaykh, his teacher, is the book. And he did not have any teacher who spoke to him and taught him and clarified for him any of the books. And then he just takes the book himself and learns from it by himself without ever learning properly. Many of them in this day, they do the likes of these affairs, and they themselves cannot express themselves clearly in the Arabic language. They cannot express a simple idea in the Arabic language. They can't say it properly. They can't carry on a conversation with somebody or even speak about issues in the religion clearly in the Arabic language themselves. And then he will refuse to have a teacher, and he will refuse to sit in the class, and there will be classes present and available to teach him Arabic likewise, and he will not come, but he will go by himself, and he will listen to the scholars, and he will read in the books, and then he will think that he knows, and he doesn't know, and it's clear whenever he speaks or whenever he talks, he can't talk about the affairs of the religion. He can't talk about the affairs of the religion in the Arabic language. So this is a sign that he's weak, and this is a sign of deficiency in sincerity and in being honest and truthful with oneself, and trying to have a position and a rank that one does not have, and trying to go ahead and jump stages. And this is very dangerous in seeking knowledge. This is very dangerous in seeking knowledge. What does he say? مِنْ أَعْظَمْ الْبَلِيَّةِ. Al-baliyah is a trial. Al-bala' يعني a calamity, a trial. Somebody that a bariyah happened to him, and he meaning he's tried with a great calamity. A great calamity. Somebody may think in the worldly life that he's tried, for example, he lost his wealth and he went bankrupt. That's called baliyah. This is a bada. This is a trial. This is a great trial. So he's saying from the greatest trials, never mind the going bankrupt, is that a person, he's bankrupt in the knowledge that he doesn't even have a teacher. He took the books as his sheikh. And again, this does not mean a student will not benefit from the books, but he will not. What it means is one will not rely on the books. And even whenever he will have a teacher who will cultivate him, and he will learn properly until he's qualified to delve into the books and benefit from them. So he says, قال الفقيه سليمان بن موسى كان يقال لا تأخذ القرآن من المصحفيين ولا العلم من الصحفيين. The faqih Salman ibn Musa, he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, it was said, do not take the Quran from those who learn from the mushaf, and nor knowledge from those who learn from the books. And this is something that is well known. You will find these books, the likes of this is narrated from the Salaf, from the early generations. That one of them, they will say the likes of this affair. Do not take the Quran from the one who learned from the Mushaf. لا تأخذ القرآن من المصحفي. And Mushafi, he is the person who learned the Quran by himself, by reading the Mushaf by himself. So he will make mistakes in I'rab, he will make mistakes in makharij, he will make mistakes in sifat, he will make any major mistakes, not minor mistakes. He didn't learn from a teacher. So the Quran, you have to learn from the lips of a teacher, and the teacher is going to clarify for you how to move your lips. And whenever you're reciting the Quran, there's proper ways that the word should be articulated. There's proper ways that the word should be articulated for the recitation to be considered correct. Without going to extremes, but there are general points of articulation and general descriptions for each letter in the Arabic language and how it should be pronounced. and how it should be pronounced. So many times, so this cannot be learned from just reading the book. Rather, a person, he has to have a teacher. The teacher will listen. Even many times, a good teacher will be able to, they can close their eyes and not even see the student and listen to the student and say, you're not making your mouth round, or you're making your mouth round, and you're not supposed to. Like, they can hear by the sound the word is coming out that they're not putting their mouth in the right place. They're not putting their mouth in the right place. So it's very important. They will say, "Oh, your tongue is too closed, or your tongue is not on your lips, or your lips are closed, or your lips should be open." Like this, they can hear the sound of the word from experience and know that it's wrong. So that's if they hear. So whenever they're watching, they'll watch and they'll tell you, "No, don't make your lips like that. Make your lips like this. Don't make your lips like that. Make your lips like this." Whenever you make the dhamma, you bring your lips together. Ooh. Ooh, like this. And whenever you make the fatha, you don't break your lips. You don't make your lips together. You don't make your lips together whenever you make a fatha, when you make a kisra. Any of the teachers, they're going to explain this for you. They're going to help this for you. So a person who learned by himself, he's not going to be able to learn properly. He's not going to be able to learn properly. Allah Azza wa Jal, he spoke the Quran, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Jibril, he heard it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Jibril, he descended with that, and he spoke, and he recited it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet, he learned it from Jibril alayhi salam. And he used to recite the whole Quran every year in Ramadan, or that which was revealed from that, until it was completed, and he recited it to him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recited it to Jibril two times in the end of his life. And this is a clarification of this, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took the Quran from Jibril, who took the Quran from Allah Azza wa Jal in this manner. So it's not something that you just learn by yourself. And the companions, they took the Quran from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet said that you take the Quran from Ibn Mas'ud and from Ubay ibn Ka'b and from the likes of them, radiallahu anhum. And this is how the Quran was transmitted to us, in this manner. Not from just the scriptures only. There must be a teacher. There must be a teacher. From the greatest blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, wallahi, from the greatest blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, is that Allah will grant you a beneficial teacher, a sincere and a truthful teacher. This is a favor from Allah. This is a favor from Allah. I know from experience, I accepted Islam. So when you accept Islam in the beginning, many times you don't have a teacher. You're doing your own self-research. You're just looking around and reading books, and anything that has Islam on it, you're like, let me read it. In reality, this is dangerous. And then it's not until Allah blesses you and guides you to a teacher that you see the benefit of that. And then even maybe sometimes whenever we accept Islam, maybe the first teacher that we're guided to is not necessarily a Salafi teacher. So then we'll experience any of what they're talking about, and then finally we're guided to the Salafi scholars and the Salafi teachers. Allahu Akbar. How life changes. How life changes. How the religion becomes clear. How the truth becomes clear now, because you have a teacher who loves Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, loves the deen, and he has learned properly, and he's teaching properly, and he is helping you. And after that, from that point on, now progress is just unlimited, and you move quickly, and you understand in a good way. Alhamdulillah, this is all from the favor of having a good teacher. From the trials is to have a bad teacher or to have no teacher. Waliyadu billah. May Allah provide for us and our loved ones good teachers. So the point here is, we do not learn the Quran from the Mushaf. وَلَا الْعِلْمَ مِنْ الصَّحَفِيِّينَ الصَّحَفِيِّينَ الَّذِينَ يَأْخُذُونَ الْعِلْمَ عَنِ الصَّحِيفَةِ عَنِ الصَّحِيفَةِ. Those who learn from the books only. Those who learn from the books only. And today we call them self-taught individuals. Self-taught individuals. This person, he himself did not learn. Rather, the knowledge should be learned from the lips of the people of knowledge, and be learned from those who learn from the lips of the people of knowledge. There's a hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah in Sunan Abi Dawud. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَتَسْمَعُونَ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْكُمْ وَيُسْمَعُ مِمَّنْ سَمِعَ مِنْكُمْ. That you're going to hear the knowledge, meaning from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْكُمْ. And the knowledge will be heard from you. وَيُسْمَعُ مِمَّنْ سَمِعَ مِنْكُمْ. And the knowledge will be heard from those who heard from you. And meaning that the knowledge is heard directly. This is how the knowledge is transmitted from teacher to student, from teacher to student, from teacher to student. Not from book to student, book to student. Left. From teacher to student, from teacher to student, from teacher to student. This is the way. This is the proper way to have a teacher that you know and you trust in his religion and his deen and his manners, his creed and methodology, and he teaches you. and he helps you, and he directs you, and he advises you. Maybe he'll correct you. Maybe he'll admonish you sometimes. And the life's like this. He'll be like a father for you, a father figure for you. This is the way. This is the good way. And this is the way of the Salaf. This is the way of the Salaf. So he says, وقال الإمام سعيد بن عبد العزيز التنوخي رحمه الله وكان يساوى بالأوزاعي وكان يساوى بالأوزاعي كان يقال لا تحمل العلم عن الصحفي ولا تأخذ القرآن عن المصحفي. So he says الإمام سعيد بن عبد العزيز التنوخي, he said, and he was considered to be like al-Awza'i, and he كان يساوى بالأوزاعي, and he was considered equal to him in knowledge and status. Al-Awza'i, Yani, is he died in the year 157, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the greatest scholars of hadith. He's from those who had a madhab. Yani, the madhab of al-Awza'i was well known. Likewise, Sufyan al-Thawri had a madhab, yani, meaning he had a methodology in giving fatwa, and he had students that were taking from him and learning from him. And likewise, Sufyan al-Thawri as well, and also al-Tabari as well, he had a madhab. But these madhab, they died off. And although some of them are still transmitted, they were not relied upon and spread like the madhab of Abi Hanifa and Malik and Shafi and Shafi and Ahmed. These madhab, they were written that they would remain. But from the early days, those who had a madhab like that, al-Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala, meaning that, and the point here is to inform that this man here, Imam Sa'id ibn Abdul Aziz al-Tanuqi, rahimahullah, he has high status and rank in the knowledge and in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, indeed it was said, do not take knowledge from one who learned from the books only. And from the one who learned from the books, many learn from the books only. It's not possible for a student of knowledge to truly be a student of knowledge and not learn from the books. So we have to understand what is intended. Like right now we're learning from the books, alhamdulillah. But how do we learn from the books? From the people who learn from the people of knowledge. And now they're qualified to learn from the books, or to teach the books, or to speak about the issues that are found in the books. So it says, it was said, do not take knowledge from one who learned from the books, meaning only. And do not take the Quran from the one who has learned from the mushaf, meaning only. And that person, no doubt, a student, maybe he will get to a particular stage, and then he will be able to memorize by himself. And he'll be able to memorize correctly by himself. Anybody, this is after having a teacher. A teacher will help him to correct the major mistakes that he has, and then after that, let him run. Remember, he can memorize in this manner. But even then, if he's going to after some time, he needs to recite again to the teacher. Yani, that which he has memorized, to make sure that it's strong and correct, and then he can in this manner have a firm and good recitation. He says, وقديما قيل من كان شيخه كتابه كان خطأه أكثر من صوابه. And in times of old it was said, whoever his sheikh is his book, then he will be wrong more than he is right. Yani, this statement is well known. Some wordings it will say, من تخذ كتابه شيخه كان خطأه أكثر من صوابه. And it's similar like this. من كان شيخه كتابه كان خطأه أكثر من صوابه. Whoever his sheikh is his book, then he will be wrong more than he's right. He's going to mention, yani, some aspects from that here. وَلَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ أَبُو حَيَّانَ النَّحْوِي حِينَمَا قَالَ أَنْ أَبُو حَيَّانَ النَّحْوِي. He did well whenever he said, يَظُنُّ الْغُمْرُ أَنَّ الْكُتُبَ تَجْدِي أَخَ فَهْمًا لِإِدْرَاكِ الْعُلُومِ وَمَا يَدْرِي الْجَهُورُ بِأَنَّ فِيهَا. هنا it says, there should be a meme, غوامض, بأن فيها غوامض, وما يدري الجهول بأن فيها غوامض حيرت عقل الفهيم إذا رمت العلوم بغير شيخ ضللت عن الصراط المستقيم. And this is the shahid. إذا رمت العلوم بغير شيخ ضللت عن الصراط المستقيم وتلتبس الأمور عليك حتى تكون أضل من توم الحكيم. So he says that the fool, he thinks that the books will suffice him in having understanding and comprehending the sciences, but the ignorant one, he does not know that there are affairs that are unclear that can confuse the mind of the sound-minded and the one who understands well. So if you try to understand the sciences without having a sheikh, if you try to study the knowledge without having a sheikh, without having a teacher, you're going to go astray, away from the straight path, and the affairs are going to be mixed up until you are more misguided than Toma al-Hakimi. What's that mean? Somebody's name, Toma.
Wallahu alam. Min Toma al-Hakimi. Hakada fi al-Asr, huh? Yani he'll be more misguided than yani Toma al-Hakimi. La'alu hadha ism li Toma. He's going to be misguided. The point is that this man he will be misguided. هذا يحتاج إلى مراجعة. قال رحمه الله وقد شرح العلماء المعنى الذي من أجله ألزم الطالب أخذ العلم من أفواه العلماء. فمن ذلك قول ابن بطلان. So he says here the scholars have explained the meaning which because of have made binding for the student to take knowledge from the mouths of the scholars. And from that is the statement of Ibn Batlan. Ibn Batlan. Tuma.
To somebody they used to
use as a parable. Example. Of a fool.
He was a tabib, but he was not a smart.
He was a doctor, but he was not smart. Yani, Tuma al-Hakimi, yeah. So he was a man, huh? Ahsanta, yeah, you're using for an example. Using for example. Yes, this is yani, like Juha. They make him an example, like that, yeah? This reminds me now, Khufay Hunain. You know Khufay Hunain? We talk about that. Remind me about Khufay Hunain. This is something important for a student. Likewise, it's very related to seeking knowledge. Khufay Hunain. The two Khuf of Hunain. And we talk about that. Don't let me forget, inshallah. Maybe not today, maybe later, inshallah. Taib. So he says here that Ibn Batlan, he mentioned, the scholars have explained the meaning which because of may have made binding for the student to take knowledge from the mouths of the scholars. And from that is the statement of Ibn al-Batlan. Here, wallahu alam, in the text it has rahimahullah. Sah? Ibn Batlan, rahimahullah. This part here we should mark it out. This part here we should mark it out. We don't say about him rahimahullah. This man, he was a Christian doctor. He was any tabib Nasrani. He was Tabib Nasrani. He was a Christian doctor. So, but he has this statement here. Wallahu alam, this statement here from Ibn Batlan is transmitted, as mentioned here, Shar' Ihla Ulum al-Din al-Zabidi. Yani, Ulum al-Din, this book here, Ihya Ulum al-Din, was a book that was authored by Razi. And Razi, yani, he died in the year 606. He was from the philosophers and from those who had any from the extreme Sufis and had deviated in a great manner. And he had many works. Some of them actually are relied upon, and along with the mistakes that are in there that are clarified, like in Usul al-Fiqh and the likes like this. He was from the Shafi'iyah. He has a famous book called Ihya Ulum al-Din, Reviving the Sciences of the Religion. Reviving the Knowledge of the Religion. In this book, and he put a lot of things in there, and many of it is truly misguidance from the ways of the Sufiya, but there are also, along with that, some benefits with regards to narrations and other topics about rectifying and purifying the soul. So a lot of the people of knowledge, they would transmit from that book. Some of the people of knowledge had actually went through that book and tried to clean it up. And this is what is in the it's mentioned here. This is from Sharh Ihya Ulum al-Din. Another one's called Tahdhib Ihla Ulum al-Din. Yani, whenever they would try to remove those fabricated narrations and those extreme issues from the Sufiya and the likes like this, in order to benefit from that which was found there, yani, from good. So Allah knows best. Yani, this is found in that work, and possibly the author, he just transmitted the statement from there because of what it contains of clarification of this subject, not realizing that the one who originally had gathered this information had included this person in there, and in reality he is a Christian, although what he's saying here is correct and suitable, very suitable for for the topic. And this is something that sometimes we'll find the people of knowledge in their authored works, sometimes they'll fall into error and they'll have a mistake in their books because they will transmit what is found in another book. For example, in Nawawi rahimahullah, some of the mistakes that he had in Creed is mentioned that he transmitted from Qadhi Iyad. And he was Ash'ari. So some of the mistakes that are found in the Sharh Sahih Muslim, which are well known, these mistakes that are found there, that the people of knowledge have clarified to be cautious from. Some of the reason of that is because he's transmitting from those before him and the likes like that, having a good opinion about them, so on and so forth. In any case, it's mentioned that Al-Razi, he repented in the end of his life. Also, it's mentioned, as we have seen in the previous seminar, that An-Nawawi, rahimahullah, he repented in the end of his life as well, rahimahumallahu ta'ala. But in any case, this is the issue here. So Ibn Batlan, he was a Christian doctor, and he's well known for medicine in his time. He died in 455, if I remember correctly. Yani, he was a doctor, and he has many works in medicine. And he would travel through the lands, and he was well known for the knowledge of medicine. So in any case, there was an individual who was a doctor likewise, claiming that he could become a doctor and learn the sciences of medicine without having a teacher. So Ibn Batlan, he is refuting him. So this is how this statement came about here. Another doctor claiming he could become a doctor and he could work medicine without having a teacher, and he can learn from the books by himself because he's so clever. So this statement was in this manner in refutation of this person. So he says, يوجد في الكتاب أشياء تسد عن العلم وهي معدومة عند المعلم هي تصحيف العارض من اشتباه الحروف مع عدم اللفظ والغلط بروغان البصر والله عالم الزوغان من الزيغ زوغان البصر وقلة الخبرة بالإعراب أو فساد الموجود منه وإصلاح الكتاب وكتابة ما لا يقرأ وقراءة ما لا يكتب ومذهب صاحب الكتاب وسقم النسخ ورداءة النقل وإدماج القارئ مواضع المقاطع وخلط مبادئ التعليم وذكر ألفاظ مصطلح عليها ذكر ألفاظ المصطلح عليها في تلك الصناعة وهذه كلها معوقة عن العلم وقد استراح المتعلم من تكلفها عند قراءته على المعلم على بدون without dots على المعلم. So he says here, there are things found in the book which hinder the knowledge. There are things, when you read the books, there are things in the books that could hinder a student of knowledge or the one reading. And especially if he does not have strong foundations and the likes. And they are not present with the teacher. And because the teacher, he has been cultivated, he has been raised, he's working with usul, he's working with principles, he's understanding the methodologies of the people of knowledge and their books, he's understanding the terminology, he's understanding the Arabic language, he's understanding the principles, so on and so forth. So these affairs, they're found in the book, they're not found with the teacher. And they are typos that come from letters being unclear. Typos in the book. Sometimes I've read in books where the statement will be a statement of kufr, and the Shaykh is talking about tawheed. It's a typo in there, a complete typo mistake, where the word the meaning is backwards. Or other times there'll be a typo there, and it changes the meaning entirely that's not intended. And the one who's reading it, he'll be able to identify that from the context, and likewise by knowing the author and knowing the methodology of the author. So he will be able to realize that that's a typo, that's a mistake. This is not in accordance with the wording and the likes like this. So one who is firmly grounded, he will be able to identify these affairs, and he will not be misled by them or not misunderstand them. Or words not being present. And sometimes there are words missing and the likes like this. And especially in those days, whenever the knowledge was transmitted by scribes, and they would write literally the manuscripts by hand, and they would write a number of them, and sometimes one of them, he would just be looking for money. He would be somebody who does that. The nusakh, some of them, that was their job. So he would just write fast or write quickly. Even until this day, we have a similar issue. Some of the books, these prints that we have, some of them are high quality. Some of them are checked by by reliable people of knowledge, or by strong students and scholars. They'll check these books against, they'll check these books with the original manuscripts until the print comes out high quality and very beneficial. And other times the print comes out like garbage, and it's just all about money. And then you will find that the page is falling apart, or the pages skip pages, or you're flipping the page 100, 101, 102, 305. All of a sudden, or there's smears on there, or there's mistakes on there, or they put the harakat on there, and they're all over the place. And the harakat are all over the place. One of the worst things that they can do is put harakat there. Yani, because they're many times, they're not in the right place. They're not in the right place. Anyways, a student, he should try to strive to learn the Arabic language so that he doesn't need harakat anymore. He can read, yani, by himself. In any case, these are things that are found in the book. These are things that are found in the book, from letters being unclear or words not being present, mistakes from the eyes moving around. Likewise, sometimes a person is reading, his eyes jump. His eyes jump and the likes like this. And then he misses an important statement or important word, or he mispronounces a word and the likes like this. So having little experience with the Arab or what is found in the book, any the person who has a little experience with the Arab, he may read it wrong, and thus it would have a wrong meaning. So this is all because of the fact that he's a beginner student. He's not strong and firm, not even in the Arabic language yet. He makes it have a dhamma, supposed to have a fathah. It's supposed to have a dhamma. And no one is entirely safe from falling into the lahan and making a mistake in the Arab. But somebody who learns, it will be rare, or it will be few that this will happen to him. And the majority of the time, he will read it properly and correctly. And he will understand it based upon that correct reading and correct understanding. But if the reading is wrong, then the understanding is going to be wrong. So likewise, in reading what he did not, he says, the Arab, or what is found in the book, being corrupted, and correcting the book, and writing what he did not read, and reading what he did not write, and the methodology of the author of the book, and the low quality copying, and the reader mixing the places together where he should stop, and mixing the fundamentals of knowledge and the mention of the terminology of that particular knowledge. And all of these are things that one has to be aware of whenever he's reading the books. I mean, maybe a person is going to read a sentence and connect it all together, but it's intended that the meaning stops here and then continues in a new sentence. And if you read it together, it would give you one understanding, but whenever you read it and stop here and then you start here, you know, the waw sometimes it has istitnafiyah. It's not waw jama'. The waw sometimes is meant to bring sentences together or bring words together. Other times it means to stop and to bring a whole new idea. The waw, just the waw, this harf. So you have to be able to identify these things. And read it properly, and based upon that proper reading, we'll have the proper understanding. So maybe the student, he's just going to be reading, and the teacher is going to say, no, you need to stop here and then continue here. And the likes like this. And likewise, even with the Quran as well. Reading the Quran as well, from the high levels of benefiting from the recitation and reciting a good recitation, is learning where to stop and where to start. And when you're reciting the Quran, even if you're running out of breath, you want to learn to stop in a good place and start in a good place that has a beneficial meaning, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, that the one listening will be able to ponder and reflect. Because if you just read and just stop wherever, then it's going to affect the meaning. But if you read and you stop in the right place, where the meaning is complete, and you restart in the right place, bringing the meaning back to life, now the Quran will sink in the heart. You can ponder and reflect in this manner, because the recitation is in accordance with the meanings. It's not just a flow, a run-on flow. La, it's a recitation that's based upon the meanings that's in the recitation. In this manner, the person, he will benefit in a great manner. So this is what is being referred to here. You don't learn from the books because of these affairs. So there's places he should stop, mixing the fundamentals of knowledge. And likewise, there's terminology of that particular knowledge. And then there may be terminology of that particular scholar. If you just open up the book, for example, many times each author, he has his own terminology. Sometimes in the early generations, their terminology is different from the terminology that is established from the later generations, which is basically relied upon today. For example, Al-Baghawi, rahimahullah, he died in the year 516. He has a book called Sharh Sunnah. He has another book called Masabih As-Sunnah. Masabih Sunnah, great books of hadith. He narrates with his chain, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he brings great benefits in these works. But in Masahibi As-Sunnah, he has a special methodology. The Hisan, what he calls Hisan is the books that's like in Sunan Abi Dawud and Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and the likes like this. In Sunan Arba, he calls them Hisan. He doesn't call them an Arba. So these books, some of the hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud is sahih, some of it is hasan, and some of it is da'if. Some of it is da'if. And the da'if is there for a reason. Abu Dawud, he authored this book for a reason, to clarify rulings and to clarify positions in fiqh. So he will mention the weak hadith in order to clarify that there are people who used this narration as a proof for that issue, but that narration is weak, so their issue is weak. So it's there for a reason. So the point is that not everything in Sunan Abi Dawud is Hassan. But his terminology that he made in that book is, he said, if I refer to Hassan, I'm talking about narrations that are found in this book, in this book, in this book. Not looking at its authenticity. But that's his methodology that he had in his days. So he's allowed to do that. لَا مُشَحَّةَ فِي الْإِشْتِلَاحِ. But a person, if he just opened the book and read it, and he's going to go through it, he's going to misunderstand. He's going to misunderstand. He's going to think that what he intends is that what is the general terminology that he thinks, but that's not what this author he intended from this. When he says sihah, he means this and this and this. When he says hisan, he means this and this. And it's different from the terminology that one may be accustomed to any today. So this author, he has a special methodology. He mentioned it in the beginning of his book in the Muqaddimah. So we have to learn about these affairs and know about these affairs before one is going to be able to benefit from the book, or he's going to misunderstand. He's going to misunderstand entirely. He's going to misunderstand entirely. You learn about the methodology of the scholars and their particular works, and then some books are authored for certain purposes, or some books the author, he has an inclination towards one particular science, or he's very qualified in one particular science, although he's qualified in general in this science, but then one aspect is something that he's very involved in. For example, Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah. Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah ta'ala, his tafsir, Fath al-Qadir, is an amazing tafsir. A lot of it is actually transmitted from Al-Qurtubi. But one of the benefits of his book is that he has a care for the lugha. So if you're looking for tafsir and you're looking for an issue about lugha, like an issue about lugha, about the Arabic language, about grammar and the likes like this, you'll find you may not go, for example, to Ibn Kathir. If you go to the tafsir Ibn Kathir, you're not going to find what you're looking for many times. Although sometimes he'll mention issues about lugha, but no, you'll go over here. You'll go over here to Shawkani, because he's going to talk about these affairs. Many times he'll talk about these affairs, like even in the very beginning, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. He spoke here that Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, this is a jumla ismiya, not a jumla fi'liya, and there's a wisdom behind that, and there's balagha with regards to that, and there's eloquence and a great beautiful meaning. You'll find that there and not there. You'll find that there and not there. You understand? And then if you really want to go further into the issues of lugha, you're not going to go to any of these famous tafsir that we know, like Sa'di or like Ash-Shawkani or like Shanqiti or Ibn Kathir or Ibn Jarir and the likes like this. You're going to go to Halabi, Samin Halabi. You're going to go, he has a whole other book that's all about lugha and the different qira'at and the different recitations and the different meaning and the different i'rab that changes the meaning and the syntax and the context. So the point is that, again, the knowledge is an ocean. La sahira lah, with no shore. And from that ocean is the knowledge of books. It's knowledge of books and how to use and benefit from the books. A student does not know that in the beginning. So he says, all of these are obstacles in knowledge, and the student will find ease whenever he has been sufficed these affairs by reading to a teacher. Whenever he reads to a teacher, the teacher is going to cut the path for him. And it's a long path, but the teacher, he's been on it for a long time, and he has himself maybe fallen into roadblocks, and maybe he's been affected by obstacles, and maybe he himself was delayed because of this issue or that issue. So he has first-hand experience, or maybe he's seen others affected by these obstacles, or maybe he had teachers that warned him from them before he fell into them. In any case, he has experience with knowledge and carrying knowledge and teaching knowledge and seeking knowledge. So he's able to help the student avoid all of these problems and get down the path easily and safely and in a timely manner. If he was to do it by himself, maybe he's going to get lost or get delayed, and the benefit that he could get from a teacher in just a few moments is not the same that he would have to get if he's going to search for it himself. We have seen the statement of Ash-Sha'bi rahimahullah, أعطيناكها مجانا. Al-Tainaka Hamajan, and he narrated to him a narration and said, we gave it to you for free. He said, we used to travel all over Medina to get narrations lesser than this one. And he meaning that he has long experience and he's going to make it easy for you. Before you have to travel all over the world to learn these affairs, he can sit here and tell it to you in just a few moments. In just a few moments. That's from the benefit of having a teacher. So it says, إِذَا كَانَ الْأَمْرُ عَلَى هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ فَالْقِرَاءَةُ عَلَى الْعُلَمَ أَجْدَى وَأَفْضَلُ مِنْ قِرَاءَةِ الْإِنسَانِ لِنَفْسِهِ وَهُوَ مَا أَرَدْنَا بَيَانَهُ. So if the affair is like this, in this manner, and then you can picture and visualize this, so reading to the scholars is more beneficial and more virtuous than a person reading by himself. And this is what we intended. And this is the end of the statement of that individual. So no doubt this is very suitable for our topic. And what he mentioned is correct and applies to the religious knowledge that we study, and applies to the religious knowledge that we study. So the author, he says, rahimahullah, so if the affair is in this manner, then reading to a scholar is more beneficial and virtuous than a person reading to himself, and this is what we wanted to clarify, end of quote. The author, he says, rahimahullah, وَقَدْ ذَكَرَ قَبَلَ هَذَا بِقَبَلَ هَذَا الْوَجْهِ خَمْسَةَ أَوْجُهٍ فِي بَيَانِ الْإِلَلِ أَلَّتِي مِنْ أَجْلِهَا صَارَتْ تَعَلُّمُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِ الرِّجَالِ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ التَّعَلُّمِ مِنَ الْمُصْحَفِ فَلْتَنْظُرْ فِي شَرْحِ إِحْيَاءِ عُلُومِ الدِّينِ. So it says, and before that, he mentioned five aspects from clarification of the ills, that because of them, learning from the mouths of the scholars is more virtuous than learning from the books. Look to the explanation of إِحْيَاءِ عُلُومِ الدِّينِ by Az-Zabidi. By Az-Zabidi, that's the work that I was referring to, which originally was authored by Al-Razi. Hada, he has a tafsir also. Tafsir Razi. You heard about that? Tafsir Razi, a big tafsir. You know what they said about that tafsir? Says it has everything in it except tafsir. He put everything in that tafsir except tafsir. Yani he was one of those philosophers that yani relied upon his intellect and wallahu alam, what has narrated from him is he regretted that in the end of his life and he repented from all of that. And he kana min al-mutakallimin wa liyadhu billah. Ala kulli hal, the author, he says, now al-a'iq al-rabi' akhdhu al-ilmi an al-asagir. Akhdhu al-ilmi an al-asagir. The fourth obstacle is taking knowledge from the little ones. It's taking knowledge from the little ones. Inshallah, we save this for after Maghrib this evening. Ihya al-Umadin. Ahal al-Ghazali. Astaghfirullah. I said al-Razi, huh? Al-Ghazali. Jazakallah khaira. That's naam. Ihya al-Umadin. Jazakallah khaira. The brother, yani, reminded me. It's from al-Ghazali. Al-Ghazali. Not from al-Razi. Al-Razi. But al-Ghazali, he's like al-Razi. Al-Razi, he had the tafsir. But Ghazali, he's the one who had the works in Usul al-Fiqh, yani that I was referring to from the Shafi Madhab. Al-Ghazali, naam, al-Ghazali. That he's the author of Ihya Ulum al-Din, al-Ghazali, naam, he's well known. Likewise, he repented as well. This mentioned the same story about him and about al-Razi, and they're very similar in that which is mentioned about him. But the book, Ihya Ulum al-Din, what I mentioned about that is correct. The author, his name was Ghazali. There's another author similar to him, his name is Zarazi. He's the one who had the tafsir. And both of them have similar issues and problems. And may Allah pardon us and them and grant us a good evening. And we have another question from the sister. How about taking books from teachers online or YouTube? Taking books from teachers online. If it's a teacher who's live, Then no doubt, if it's online and it's live, like somebody, for example, learning from their home now and listening, this is online. So the teacher is present and online and available to answer questions, just like this one, and able to clarify what's misunderstood, yani, and the likes like this. So this person, yani, it's definitely not the same online or distance learning, but it's the next best thing. It's very close, but to sit in front of the teacher and to have a relationship with him, and is much more beneficial. And as for learning on YouTube, then this could be beneficial for people likewise who have foundations, but those who do not know and they just look through YouTube and the likes like this, then it can become a big problem. In our days, we're very confused. The author is going to speak about this, about who are the scholars and who are the students and the likes like this. And this YouTube has a lot of good, There's a lot of good on YouTube, actually, in this religious knowledge, alhamdulillah, but there's a lot of evil that's more. And in religious knowledge, never mind the evil from the dunya. The evil from the dunya is it never ends. But talking about religious knowledge on YouTube, there's some good things there and a lot more bad things there. And a lot more bad things there. So learning from these means is beneficial, but even then, it's best to have a teacher. So one thing I do with some of the students who are further away that cannot come to us here and they contact me, then I help them and I set for them a program that they follow by listening to recordings in a structured manner. In a structured manner, because alhamdulillah, now here in Masjid Tawheed, we have covered together a lot of different books on a lot of different topics and a lot of different subjects. And we had tried to observe in our learning together, yani, this level, stages, little by little. So those books are recorded. So a lot of those brothers who contacted me, I will have them listen to lectures in a structured manner. Like, for example, in Aqidah, this is one science, and there's books that one can travel through. And likewise in Fiqh, this is a science, jurisprudence, how to worship. There's books that we covered, one he can travel through. And likewise, manners and etiquettes, how to implement and live upon that creed, and live upon that creed in one's life. There's books that we covered. So these are three different subjects. We put them together, we make a program, and the student can follow by himself at home. If they have any questions, they can ask me. So this is an effort that I have made for some of those brothers who are not able to learn here live. So I think that is beneficial. And this is very similar to like what Sheikh Abdul Razak is doing and Sheikh Suleiman is doing by having these different structured programs, learning on Telegram channel. And there's tests that are given to verify that the student understood, so on and so forth. Yani, a type of structured learning that is supervised by someone who's qualified. So this is very beneficial and much better than just surfing here and surfing there and going by yourself. So in any case, we have to be careful from the YouTube and the YouTube sheikhs and the YouTube hosts and the talk shows and the likes like this that ascribe to Islam. But one of ways to do that is to, again, have a true teacher that you can ask who to learn from and who not to learn from, or what to learn and what not to learn. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. جزاكم الله خيرا.